What happens when you bring government officials from cities divided along ethnic and political lines together in one room? Arguments? An outbreak of violence? According to veteran peace negotiator Porig O'Malley, you get exactly the opposite. Over 10 years ago, a group of Catholic and Protestants from Northern Ireland came together to hear from Nelson Mandela and other South African leaders who'd overcome apartheid. It had an influence, and shortly afterwards, the Good Friday Agreement was negotiated. O'Malley decided that if the technique worked with the South Africans and the Northern Irish, why not do it with other divided societies? Thus, the Divided Cities Conference was born. O'Malley is currently a professor at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Earlier this month, his university sponsored a symposium of leaders from Kirkuk, Iraq, Nicosia, Cyprus, Derry, Londonderry in Northern Ireland, and Mitrovica, Kosovo, all cities with deep-seated ethnic disputes in various stages of conflict resolution. In a moment, I'll talk with two members of the delegation from Mitrovica, a city with divided populations of Serbians and Albanians. But first, Porig O'Malley told me a little more about his Divided Cities Conference.
The idea was to bring these cities together, bring the mayors of these cities together with their counterparts and with elected officials and NGOs, and that over a period of 3 days, they would share the narratives of their conflicts and how they emerged from those conflicts and how they were dealing with the problems of a transitional society, and not quite out of conflict, but heading towards normalcy of some kind. And these five cities agreed to participate after I visited each one and talked to everybody whom I'm invited. And thank God everyone got a visa, and they all arrived. And they worked extremely hard for 3 days with lots of intense discussions among them and among themselves. And at the end of those 3 days, they decided that they would indeed proceed with being the founding member cities of a forum for cities in transition, which would have a rotating presidency where the president city, so to speak, would host the other cities on an annual basis and invite delegates from each of those cities to see how that particular city worked from the ground up and how it met its particular challenges. This would expand the pool of knowledge available to all the cities. It would also help them deal with some of their existing internal divisions.
Is there some kind of key to doing this, Porig, that basically you want to get people together and talking, but I imagine you don't want big, long conference tables and tension? How do you break ice or make things slightly informal?
In the weeks before the conference, every participant was looking for an agenda. The answer to that was, where is the agenda? Well, there is no agenda, because when you get here, you yourselves are going to design that agenda, because you yourselves from these cities know far better than me or anybody else what you ought to be talking about. And once you hear each other's narratives of conflict and how you are emerging out of that conflict, themes will begin to emerge and that you are able to identify with across the board. And out of that process of identification, when we break you up into smaller groups, you will be able to come up with the items that you think should be on the agenda. There was no facilitation necessary. It had become a self-facilitating conference. People from each city would make a presentation and then take questions from the delegations from the other cities. Then the next city would step up and make its presentation, and it was all done by them. They designed the process, They designed the agenda, and in the end, they agreed that they're working together under the umbrella of a forum for cities in transition, and with a small secretariat, and each of them being willing to host each other every year was a vehicle from which they all could gain.
That's a terrific idea. I'm glad it works to have no agenda in a conference, and then you bring all these high rollers from these really hard places to get together and then have absolutely no agenda. That's a great idea.
Well, some people say it's nutty. It works because you allow the people at the conference to own the conference. You do not dictate, you do not impose, you do not tell them what to do. You make them the decision makers by doing that, and by you removing yourself as far as possible, you give them the maximum amount of room to interact with each other.
Now, we've got two of the representatives from Mitrovica there in the studio with you. Momcilo Arlov, and he is Serbian. He's the program director for the Center for Civil Society Development. It's a group that promotes interethnic dialogue. He's from the northern Mitrovica part. And Valdente Idrizi is an Albanian. She's director of the organization Community Building for Mitrovica, and it facilitates cooperation between Albanians and Serbs in Mitrovica. Thanks both for joining us. I bet while you were at this conference, you were meeting people with lots of similar problems, people who didn't feel a lot of freedom to cooperate with other sides, people who had issues of displacement of property on the other side of cities. What was it like talking to the people from Nicosia and Kirkuk about the same kind of things?
Especially for us Mitrovicians, it was very important to see, for example, the experience from Derry, Londonderry, and how far they came, you know, when they were some 20, 30 years ago. So it brings hope. It was very good also the importance of the important role that civil society played. So for us, especially coming from the NGO sector, was so important. It encourages us to continue with our work. And also from Nicosia, it was amazing to see the two ex-mayors that have really shown that they had the courage as the two leaders, despite all the problems that were coming from their respective governments, just to stand up and just to bring some common problems of citizens, and they managed to solve together. And that's extremely important for me, but I believe also for our politicians that they were here. Because our politicians did not talk in Mitrovica. So, and this was very good, you know, how many miles they had to fly to come here and talk. And also for us, it's so important to have their support. Because when we are back in our city, yes, we will continue with our activities, projects. But when we had their support from here, it is much more easier. Well, it's not easy at all, but much more easier than it is now.
Momcilo, can you explain to us a little about Mitrovica for people who've never been there? It's a divided city by a river, but what kind of interaction is there between Albanians and Serbs?
As of 1999, when conflict ended and the United Nations, through its mission, United Nations mission in Kosovo, or shortly UNMIK, came to administer the province or the territory, up to 85% of the Serbs inhabited the northern part of Mitrovica, did not cross the main bridge to the south part of Mitrovica. So the levels of interaction in between the two communities in Mitrovica are on extremely low level. The highest interaction that we could drag about is related to the criminal groups, the gray economy. Speaking about the citizens of both sides, it's extremely difficult because Mitrovica remains the only urban place in Kosovo that still can be treated as multi-ethnic if you look upon it as on the north and south. However, more importantly, it remains the only urban place hosting the K-Serbian community. So, for example, in Prizren, we don't have any more Serbs. In Pristina, we have 68 Serbs, 6-8 in total.
Right.
Mitrovica with 20,000 inhabitants, out of whom some 3,000 are non-Serbs, is the largest Serbian urban center there. But equally important, Mitrovica remains the place in Kosovo with the highest potential for violence. And with all the parallel structures, all the structures of public life are parallel.
And I understand, like, unemployment is hugely high in Mitrovica, northern Mitrovica.
Unemployment is the issue Kosovo-wide. We often say that Kosovo has the youngest population in Europe, but our politicians often forget to add in the same line that, yes, that is true, and we should be proud about that, but we also have the highest unemployment rates among the young people. When it comes to Mitrovica, the issue of unemployment is a bit difficult to explain in a sentence or two because it is estimated that up to 70% of the K-Serbs are dependent, but to that extent also benefiting from different sorts of the financial assistance from the Belgrade government.
Valdete, I wanted to get your perspective and opinion here. What is the southern Mitrovica idea about how it should function with northern Mitrovica these days?
Well, when it comes to the unemployment, the picture is not better than the northern side. It is a change of, I mean, it, since 1999, a slightly different change on when demographic change, because you still have the displaced Albanians from the northern side that still own the properties in the north also, and the expectations are higher than the implementation it's on the ground when it comes to the implementation of rule of law. And what Momcilo mentioned about organize this black business or smuggling, which is a very good inter-ethnic cooperation, and that raises the frustration among people. But when it comes to the ordinary citizens, there is a goodwill still. Even though it's so difficult, that people do not have much possibility to talk to each other, to communicate much more to each other. With our activities, we are trying to bring them together because they do have the same common concerns for their city, for the future of their children. When we talk about youth, or their perspective, but it is another problem because it is a pressure, political pressure. It's in the northern side, which does not allow people to think or just to cooperate with the other side. And that makes it much more difficult.
Did you get the feeling that your situation was unique and different than some other situations, or did you come away from it thinking that we were a little more like them than we thought?
One thing I could say, we could understand each other very well, all the cities. We had lots of similarities, but also we do have our differences. But all the divided cities that we were here, we are in different stages of transition. But definitely we can, first we can share, we can learn from each other, and we can learn from the mistakes of each other, but we can also learn about some of the good examples. Because we just realized that yes, also we do have some successful stories. When we are in the context, when we are in Mitrovica, it's difficult to see those progresses. Maybe sometimes we see a very small ones, but when we came here and we were asked to say, to talk, to exchange, we just realized that there is really a big light in the end of the tunnel. And that was so important to be here with everyone and to hear from different perspectives also.
Momcilo, do you want to chime in there? What did you get out of the conference? Did you find that discussing some of the same issues was provoking you to think differently about your own?
Yeah, I was definitely provoked enough to say to the politicians that they are gutless. As Valdeta, I'm also definitely more than happy that they've been able to express their support. So, of course, it goes without saying that we are more than grateful for them.
Did you chip in something? What did you bring to the agenda? Were you skeptical about what would happen when you came?
I'm still skeptical. But that's the point. We don't have the luxury of time anymore. Realistically speaking, the situation will not improve all the way down until we start with this kind of positive provocations of the overall environment, which is for the moment quite negative, quite hostile when it comes to the community interaction, dialogue, and definitely some technical agreements in between the two sides in a conflict at the local level. I'm usually not a poker player, but so to that extent, I'm not feeling good in that terminology, chip in. I chipped in my time, my energy. Except from that, nothing.
I guess when you talk about, you know, you don't have the luxury of time, I think about people's futures. Everyone wants to have a future and wants to be able to feel like they've got a great future in the place they live. I imagine that is quite an impetus.
When I say that we don't have a luxury of time, I'm referring towards the people, towards the generations that are coming, towards the generations that were born as of 1999 onwards, that will have no future, definitely no joint future, if we do not start moving things forward. So to that respect, I'm saying 10 years after the end of the conflict, we don't have the luxury of time. Because if we don't start making this kind of agreements of concern, not of to the high political issues, such as in our case, the status of Kosovo, but of concern to the improving the quality of everyday life of all the citizens of Mitrovica, disregarding their ethnical background, we will definitely not have a joint future. According to the trends of a day, when it comes to the minority population in Kosovo, in 1999, we had 220,000 internally displaced Serbs and non-Albanians from Kosovo. According to the official UNHCR data, in a period from 2000 to 2008, we had only 7,000 returnees out of that number of 220,000. Along the same line, following the unilateral declaration of independence in February last year, we had something like 185 families of young Serbs leaving one part of Kosovo alone, not to Serbia, that's a different number, different figure, but to the third countries, Sweden, Norway, Denmark. So what I'm trying to say, if we continue the status quo, and status quo meaning a situation where two sides have no dialogue at all in between themselves in resolving these issues of concern to the everyday lives of the citizens, in a 5 years time you won't have a problem in Kosovo, because in a 5 years time you won't have Serbs in Kosovo.
Do a lot of people in Mitrovica, are they looking to leave right now? Is that what maybe most of the population wants? They think, well, if we're not going to break off and become a part of Serbia, then I'm going to pack up and go?
The good thing about the conference and about the strategy that Professor O'Malley used is essentially that we didn't allow ourselves to be constrained with that kind of thoughts. Your question is of concern to the high-level politics regarding the status of Kosovo that we wanted to avoid and that we've been so successful to avoid. We want to put that aside. The fact remains that two sides didn't agree yesterday on the status of Kosovo. They don't agree today on that issue. They will not agree on that tomorrow. When it comes to the local level, without the burden of the status issue, we can actually have a dialogue on the technical issues, such as, for example, the sewage system, such as, for example, the water system. Things of concern, again, for the improvement of the quality of everyday life of all the citizens. So I would say that that was also something that contributed that this conference was successful. We put these issues of high policy aside. We didn't allowed them to constrain us.
Was there any particular success that you thought would apply to you more? I mean, even if it seemed like maybe a trivial thing at first, garbage collection or something, any kind of binding issue that you could utilize?
Well, we produce some, let's say, concrete actions or projects that we may implement when we are back. So, and one of that is the heating system. And our mayors were just sitting together, and hopefully when they are back, they will sit along with us and just to try and bring that as a normal citizen's problem and not to allow to be a political problem. So this was something, it was inspiring the mayors from Nicosia that they managed to bring. It took a while because we were asking how long did it take to be perceived as a just citizen's problem and not a political one. And they told us that it was not an easy way, but they also shared that they managed to at least to solve that problem for citizens, which was in common from north and south.
So they've solved basically a problem with heating issues and shared...
If I could just chime in here.
Sure, Porrig.
There were a list of 8 things that the two mayors agreed on with regard to both infrastructure facilities and economic development agencies that would involve both Serbs and Albanians in these agencies working in equal proportions. The significance is that the two mayors, as the political leaders of the two parts of Mitrovica, stepped out of the box, so to speak, and are undertaking an endeavor where they risk failure. Accepting the risk of failure in attempting to move forward is the true sign of leadership. And in that sense, they have taken the first steps to empowering the citizens in both parts of Mitrovica to work together. And by empowering themselves, they are taking the first steps to determining their future. Their future right now lies in a legal limbo between the US, the EU, and the UN. United Nations mission right there on both sides of the river Ibar, given that Kosovo is like the last scab on the body of the Balkans. The mayors of the two parts of Kosovo are taking the first steps to remove that scab.
Is there something about the City in Transition Forum that they've agreed to host next year that would, just in doing it, make them talk? Do they have to agree to house people on one or the other side of the river, or host events on one or side of the other, eat dinner on one side of the other of the river? Is that, does that help?
Some people were asking us, so how you are going to do it? And basically we just said, we don't know. We just know that we will do something and we will be creative and we'll do some events there, some events here. So we know. We are quite aware that it will be very difficult since the city is physically divided. But we also know that we have just to go ahead, and we have ourselves to be a role model for. And also, first of all, the politicians who said today and yesterday that they will support us. So it's a big responsibility, but it's in the same time a big honor to have everyone, all the cities in Mitrovica, which showed and expressed their support, not only in organizing, but also in generally offering their experience and expertise.
I want to thank you all for doing this and taking the time to talk with us. I wish you all the luck in Mitrovica next year.
Thank you. We hope to see you there.
That was Padraig O'Malley, Professor of Peace and Reconciliation at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He organized this month's Divided Cities Conference. I also spoke with Valdetta Idrisi and Momcilo Arlov from the delegation from Mitrovica. Idrisi is an ethnic Albanian and director of the Organization of Community Building in Mitrovica, and Arlov is a Serbian from Kosovo who heads the Center for Civil Society and Development. Good luck to them in the future.